Greetings. You are listening to the Northeast Ohio AFSC Weekly Audio Podcast. It is Friday, April the 8th. I'm Greg Coleridge. Thanks so much for listening. We seek every week to inform you about issues you feel important, update you about past and upcoming AFSC plans and activities, and inspire you to take action. It is, after all, grassroots social movements made up of well-informed, prepared, and motivated people that always create real change. We begin, as we always do, by reporting on events from last week, and it was an extremely busy one, beginning first with last Saturday, the fourth annual statewide gathering of the Move to Amend Ohio Network, of which AFSC has been very involved with since its inception, in fact, help get it going. The event was in Columbus at the First Unitarian Universalist Church. Keynote speakers were David Cobb and George Friday, both of whom are members of the national leadership team of Move to Amend. They gave just a wonderful, each of them short comments, followed by, my only regret is we did not tape this, and it should have been just some tremendous dialogue and discussion back and forth around both issues and strategies of where we are today, where we need to go as far as a movement, how Move to Amend connects with other issues and concerns and strategies. Just a really fine, insightful, and inspiring dialogue. That was followed by some workshops in the afternoon on a variety of topics related to what we're trying to do in Ohio and as it connects with Move to Amend nationally. So there was sort of an introductory workshop on Move to Amend for new people and groups, a workshop on how to have a conversation around these issues of money and money in elections and corporate personhood in ways that help evolve those who are the recipients of our comments that we'll be accepting. A workshop on inspiring change, how the arts can serve as a catalyst to widen and deepen the necessary culture for a democratic social movement and a democratic society. There were workshops on how to outreach to labor to convey the Move to Amend message to union and other labor organizations. One on outreach to faith and ethical communities, and finally a workshop on what was called incarceration conflagration, the prison industrial complex, and Black Lives Matters, connecting the privatized prison system to, of course, corporate power, corporate rule, and, of course, how imprisonment breaks up. And has been used effectively when you imprison people to break up social movements and, of course, impede psychological and spiritual support and growth. So those were the major high points of the gathering. There was also a section for proposals of what the network will be doing this next year that we'll be sharing more in the weeks ahead. But a very, very good event. I think it's the best one so far of the four that we've had, all of which have been in Columbus at the First Unitarian Church. But I think you take everything into account, good participation from Move to Amend supporters from all over the state. I think it was the best yet. The next day on Sunday was the latest planning meeting of the People's Justice and Peace Convention, which will be taking place on the 3 days before the convention actually commences. So this Peace and Justice Convention of the People's Variety will occur July 15 through 17. That's Friday evening through Sunday morning. And that meeting this past Sunday was yet another gathering where we discussed and made small, incremental, but still important steps along the path to seeing this event become a reality. Later on Sunday, George Friday, who spoke in Columbus on Saturday, spoke at an event in Akron sponsored by AFSC. as well as The Womb, The Way of Mind and Body, and the Akron Organizing Collaborative on Educating and Organizing for Immediate and Fundamental Social Change. George is just a tremendous person with incredible experiences in a variety of different movements, from peace, social and racial justice, to democracy, to anti-voter suppression. She's been active with the American Friends Service Committee, serving on one of our national committees, worked for National Peace Action, currently is the national field organizer for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, which is an organization that tries to promote civil liberties for those who wish to exercise their First Amendment rights of protesting and speaking out. She was the former coordinator of the Independent Political Progressive Politics Network, so just a variety of experiences. And it really does show when she comments, reflects, shares experiences and dialogues with people. Very, very good gathering there on Sunday evening at The Womb, late afternoon, early evening at The Womb, with a nice collection between people with connections to AFSC and others with connections more with The Womb and the Akron Organizing Collaborative. So a very diverse group and very diverse conversation and very enriching one at that. Monday, David Cobb spoke at a variety of different places, spoke at Tri-C in the morning, and then at Cleveland State University in the evening on creating democracy and challenging corporate rule. If you have not heard David, just a phenomenal talent and organizer and educator on many issues, but of course his passion and his calling right now is to promote real democracy via the Move to Amend 28th Constitutional Amendment. He spoke in Cleveland Monday evening and then Tuesday evening in Kent and Wednesday evening at a program that AFSC sponsored in Akron at the Northwest Akron Branch Library. I'll be interviewing him next week, so if you did not catch any of his remarks either in Columbus at the Move to Amend Ohio Network 4th Annual Gathering or in Cleveland or in Kent or in Akron, we'll try to at least touch on the high points of his remarks, reflections, and takeaways of his experiences, of what he learned and how he thinks things are progressing, hopefully more progressing than digressing here in Ohio, to move the Move to Amend movement along. So we were happy to do what we could to host and set up this speaking tour of both David and George here in Northeast Ohio, and both of whom, it should be said, were elsewhere in the state. George was in Dayton and in Columbus, independent of the 4th annual gathering, for presentations. While that was George, while David spoke before Columbus at the annual gathering, he was in Athens and then in Cincinnati, and then after he left Akron, went down to Oxford. So we helped AFSC in trying to shepherd him along and in trying to get the word out, and did a wee bit in helping set up and organize those respective events. Well, that is all of what took place this past week, a busy one at that. Turning now to upcoming events next week. Beginning tomorrow, Saturday, will be the meeting of what's called the Cleveland Human and Civil Rights Network. George Friday, who is still around, will be speaking more, actually not so much speaking, but facilitating and helping those who will be attending with her experiences, among so many others, in helping organize protests connected to a Democratic convention. I think it was the Democratic one, wasn't it? A political convention in Charlotte a few years ago. She helped in some of those activities. So she will be there at this Cleveland Human and Civil Rights Network meeting tomorrow, Saturday, April 9th, beginning at 11 o'clock at the Cleveland Friends Meeting House, 10916 Magnolia Avenue, for a couple of hour-long meeting to just sort of help us who are working in different spheres with some overlap. I'm glad to say there's quite a bit of overlap, but still, we need to better figure out how to coordinate the respective individual activities that are in the works, being planned either before or during. And that still may come for the Republican National Convention. So there will be representatives there from each of the projects and activities that are in the works to figure out how best we can sort of synergistically make the sum greater than the parts of the individual events. That begins again at 11 o'clock at Cleveland Friends Meeting House, 10916 Magnolia Avenue. Later in the evening, beginning actually at 9 p.m., is a film as part of the Cleveland International Film Festival. We didn't have a role in deciding the timing of it, so it's not necessarily the best, but it's not 11:30 in the evening either. AFSC is a community partner for one of the films being shown, that film being called A Good American, that has two showings. Tomorrow evening, the 9th at 9 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 11:10 a.m. That's Sunday, April the 10th. Both film showings will be at Tower City Cinemas, 230 West Huron Road in Cleveland. The film A Good American is an interesting documentary that describes a software program that was developed by a guy named Bill Binney called Thin Thread that he claims would have very successfully identified via surveillance of chatting and other communication occurring over the web and over phones, would have picked up the plans of the terrorists that caused the 9/11 attacks in New York and D.C. But his surveillance program was not used by the National Security Agency, but rather a different program that apparently, I mean, we'll find the details. I've not seen the documentary, but at least from the description, the National Security Agency rather chose a surveillance program, that was inferior, but was so chosen because of some inside political connections that apparently had to do with lobbying and maybe political campaign contributions and the like. So anyway, this film seemed right up our alley, both in terms of addressing issues of war and peace, as well as addressing issues of corruption of the body politic as a result of private entities trying to corrupt and pervert the political process via political influence. So anyway, this film, A Good American, has all the elements of a great action film: dangerous secrets, espionage, corruption, and war. Not to be missed. Feel free to attend. You can order tickets by going online to clevelandfilm.org, clevelandfilm.org, or by phone, 877-304-3456. That's 877-304-3456. If you use the code either when ordering by phone or online of AFSC, you'll get a $2 discount. So, hey, can't beat that. $2 discount by using the code AFSC by either phoning 877-304-3456, or tickets can be purchased online at clevelandfilm.org, www.clevelandfilm.org. So, again, there's two showings of A Good American. That would be either Saturday night, 9 p.m., or Sunday morning, 11:10 a.m. Well, Monday is the next meeting of the Cleveland Move to Amend group, and they will be meeting, as they always do, at the University Heights Martin Luther King branch. I should say University, it's not University Heights, it's University Circle. Branch Library, which is the Martin Luther King Branch Library, address 1962 Stokes Avenue in Cleveland. That meeting begins at 5:30 And at the meeting will be an assessment of where we are. More than 4,000 signatures have been collected. Now we would like to have, to be comfortable, about 8,000. We need 5,000 good ones. Well, many will be pitched. So having around 7,500, 8,000 would mean we have a 50% cushion. So we'd like at least about 75, 8,000 signatures. So we'll be talking about upcoming events, upcoming activities, upcoming ways that individuals can be involved. I do know that Cleveland Move to Amend is encouraging that every person who has a petition who lives in Cleveland spend an hour next Saturday. So that is Saturday, April 16. 1 hour, anytime during the day that makes sense to you. It could be morning, afternoon, evening, whenever. Go out for an hour where you are in your neighborhood, whether it's physically in your block, to door knock on your neighbors asking them to sign, or in your business district, your shopping district, or your post office, your library, where you drop off your clothes, if there's a license bureau, wherever there may be people congregating that you think are people who live within the city of Cleveland. Go there, spend an hour, just 60 minutes. If everyone did that, we would get and got 10 signatures based on the number of people who have petitions now. Just like that, with 1 hour being spent by every person, we'd have another 1,000 signatures. With that simple, modest effort, that's all it's going to take. If we did that just a couple of times between now and early July, when we have when we have to turn these signatures in, we wouldn't need to do large, massive events. Just these small, modest, decentralized events would be enough. But anyway, just do what you can. Spend an hour if you have a petition. If you live outside of Cleveland, spend an hour. Come into Cleveland somewhere. Go to a business district. Spend an hour. Try to come up with just 10 signatures. That would be just wonderful. So anyway, I do know that is being planned. That'll be talked about at the meeting on Monday. Finally, Thursday on the 14th are a number of events that SEIU in Cleveland. In fact, it may be coinciding with events all over the country on that day. The effort for what's being called Fight for 15, to declare and work and try to get the city of Cleveland to go on record and pass an ordinance that would call for the raising of the minimum wage within the city of Cleveland to $15 an hour. There'll be several events taking place at several venues throughout that day. That's Thursday, April 14th. I know I'll be taking part in some of the events. We are advertising it, publicizing it. The specific dates and places, times and places, I should say, of which we will put on our website and Facebook page. So check those out. I don't happen to have those specifics now, but that's a big event, so check those out at that time. At this point, we frequently provide comments of recent news items relevant to our work. This week, however, we're going to take advantage of the fact that we helped host David Cobb and George Friday, who previously mentioned, who are National Move to Amend Leadership Team members in Ohio, where they spoke at various events in different communities. So this week, we interview George, and next week, we'll talk with David. Joining us now is George Friday, who is the field organizer for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, as well as on the national leadership team of Move to Amend. George and her cohorts, David Cobb and Ruthie Engelke, were in Ohio this past week, traveling around many communities, including Northeast Ohio. So thanks, George, for taking a few moments to be here.
I'm glad to be here, Greg. Thank you.
Well, it was a wonderful time for you to be with us, and just sort of wanted your general impressions, first of all, about your experience in Ohio, what you thought your takeaways were, what did you learn?
It was fantastic to be here. Folks here in Ohio are doing wonderful work to promote a democracy movement and help us get closer to having a 28th Amendment.
And that 28th Amendment is in particular calling for what?
To stop the illogical and ridiculous notion that corporations should have the same constitutional rights as human beings, and that money equals free speech. Both of those elements are being challenged by the 28th Amendment.
Now, George, you have just a tremendous amount of experience in working on just a plethora of issues with various communities in different places, both in the South and around the country. Many people think that Move to Amend is pretty siloized in just dealing with these one or two particular issues. To what extent is that true? To what extent is that not?
Well, with Move to Amend, we are talking about a democracy movement. We need a democracy movement because currently the United States is not being ruled by we the people. It is being ruled by corporations. Our choices, our laws, even our organizing wins are all at the vulnerable to being taken back or halted in their tracks by the power of corporations. So we need a full democracy movement. The 28th Amendment that challenges Citizens United, but is stronger than just challenging Citizens United, taking away both the element of money equal free speech and corporations having constitutional rights, is the beginning of us claiming a genuine democracy in this country, and for many communities, for the first time ever.
Right, and it's just so important to understand and I think frame this issue as it's not just simply about trying to stop corporations in its track or surface or smoke out a single bad corporate apple, if you will, or an individual millionaire or billionaire who is corrupting or perverting a politician or a political process. It's not any of those individual incidents or individual bad occurrences, but something, correct, that's more fundamental.
Absolutely. It would be a beautiful thing if we could create justice and genuine democracy in this country by just identifying a set of bad individuals or even set of bad corporations and, you know, control them. That would be awesome. Unfortunately, we are dealing with decades and decades, and in some ways, in some people, hundreds of years of building a resistance against people's will and creating conditions for the very, very wealthy and the corporate elite to rule the country. So we're challenging that. To challenge that requires a movement, and not just in the same way it would be great if there were just a few set of people that were the problem. It would be fantastic if just a few set of us could change everything. But it takes all of us who care about environmental justice, economic justice, racial and social justice, equity for people of all sexual identities and all religions, requires us to have a genuine democracy movement that focuses on building power to change the conditions that are occurring in our countries and community today.
And so that's why, is it not, that Move to Amend not only drills down and has a tremendous amount of information and encouragement of discussion around legal history and political change, how one does that historically and strategically, but also focuses on issues of race, class, and oppression. I'm just wondering if you might be able to comment on why that is so critical in what you have accurately described as the need to develop a wide and deep social movement.
Well, we're challenging some of the assumptions, or assumptions may not be the word, but some of the conditions that existed at the creation of our country. And those are built on the getting rid of all the people who are indigenous in this country. There's a word for it that's not coming to me. But I can't think of it now. It happened with Jewish people, too, when you just decimate.
Exterminate.
Yes. When you decimate a whole crew of people, as we did to the indigenous folks here, and enslaved Africans, and women were chattel. So it's not like that was all guaranteed in the Constitution. None of it was challenged in the Constitution. No conditions for justice and equity and true democracy are in that document that some of us cherish currently. So if we are, that means that the people in this country from the beginning who were most exploited or had the boot on their throat, as it were, are the people who have the most at stake and the most to gain by having real democracy. So we need to reach out to those people around us in our communities and those people in our country who have been unheard, who have been silenced or, you know, destroyed emotionally, spiritually, and really destroyed, so that they wouldn't have power, keeping power away from some people. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would deny that during the time that the Constitution was formed, there was no intention to share power with indigenous folks or enslaved folks or poor white folks or women. And there were fights and struggles and movements to get protections for labor, protections for women, protection for people of color, and even protections for queer communities. That's going back and forth these days, but the fight continues. So that's why for us to be effective in having a movement to win the 28th Amendment and build a democracy movement, we have to make strong connections to those communities who are dealing with the injustice brought on in many ways by corporate rule, and follow the leadership of those same people. Young people, people of color, undocumented folks, folks of different religions, folks of different sexual identities and backgrounds and class. It's a full-blown movement, baby.
And not an easy one ever to build. But and that's why I have appreciated so much in looking at the material that National Move to Amend has put together, that I know you helped construct, that has helped those leaders and members of various affiliates and chapters to help in that growing awareness and understanding of not simply, which is in of itself quite substantive and important to understand, but not just around issues of oppression and discrimination and the like, but also how these materials cover the lessons to be learned from social movements, the efforts in the past to co-opt social movements, to take down, to distract social movements, that those are things that we absolutely today need to understand. Otherwise, we're going to make the same bloody mistakes mm-hmm. that those in that have come before us have made, and that we will have learned nothing from them.
You're absolutely right. And some of us honor those folks who are in early struggles, whether they're labor movement, the suffragette movement, the civil rights movement. To really honor the memory of those folks is to do the work right this time. It's really hard. It takes so much energy and so much effort. We're challenging so much of what we've learned in this country because we're conditioned to think, oh, well, the smartest person in the room is the white man who has a master's degree or a PhD, not realizing that the 15-year-old kid in the corner has a whole lot to say about how to change conditions in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So for us to even be able to hear and understand the brilliance of all of us collectively in creating solutions, there's a lot we have to unlearn. It's hard work. It's not work with a lot of benefits or things that come back at you that are great to hear, but it's where we go if we really, if we say we care about genuine justice, a clean environment, being able to treat all beings with love, respect, and dignity, then we have to step up and do the work, including the work of being conscious of our own issues that are keeping us back and holding us back, and doing the work of sort of weeding that out of our spiritual gardens, as it were, and joining with other people, not always being the smartest person in the room, right, and not always being the one in power, but collectively creating power with others, transferring skills that you have, sharing your privilege strategically, and being a dependable ally for people that are dealing with some really hard conditions. Yeah. And David always says, David Cobb, one of our colleagues and a co-founder of Move to Amend, in studying the other movements, he reminds us that each of those movements, the labor movement, the women's rights movement, the peace and justice movement, really fell apart around race and power.
Populists as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's not make that mistake. That's an easy one to fix. Now, it's if we recognize that and work on it, then we can address it. But it's hard work because we're conditioned in this country to just not even talk about some of those issues. But we must if we can have justice for those who are dealing with some real hard realities and things getting worse. We have to challenge the militarization of our local police, the blaming of the poor and low-income people for economic conditions, assaults on women and queer people, misogyny and greed. It fuels a lot of really scary stuff in this country. We know that. We don't have to spend the lion's share of our time when we're together talking about how horrible things are. Let's acknowledge that that's true. We know it's rooted in some of these conditions that help corporations thrive. And let's be about creating some change that we can sustain and pass on to future generations.
Right. No, it's very well said. Just to extrapolate this out just a bit more about the issue in particular of repression versus co-optation. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly one of the ways that the power elite of any age, in any country, in any time period, have used to get people who have successfully come together, which is tough enough because, at least in our culture, the John Wayne mentality has predominated of I can bring about change all by my lonesome.
That's right.
So when people come together, that's hard work, and it doesn't happen very often. But when it does, certainly one of the responses of the powers to be has been to repress it, mm-hmm. but another has been to co-opt it.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you could just comment on the, in particular, with Move to Amend, the potential threat of co-optation. I mean, we've seen it with Occupy.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen repression as well.
Yeah, that's right.
With Occupy and with Black Lives Matters to a certain extent, right? But there's also efforts to co-opt.
Right.
And so could you just comment on the potential pitfalls and the antenna that needs to be raised about ways to prevent that?
Well, I'm looking forward to having opportunity to create some of these solutions or think about some of this together with other people that are part of Move to Amend and part of building a movement, because I don't think any of us have the answer all by ourselves. I do know that those of us who may be seen on the left, and I'm way, 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 way up there on the left, okay, but can often think we gotta win, and we've been deluded into thinking it's a win. And sometimes that's because we're seeking an easy answer or a shortcut, and there really aren't any. I know this because of being with white leftists or white progressives or liberals. I don't know the right word. Mostly liberals, who people who think they've got it together, but, you know, under scrutiny, you know, they're noodles. So those folks, and no disrespect, I mean, people do the best they can with what they know at the time, but sometimes these same folks who think they know the best do not want to have to deal with race or gender or sexual identity or class. It's just too much work. It's just too hard, they'll say. It's just too complicated. Well, here's the reality we are. This is where we are. And to be able to unweave some of these things that are in our way, we have to face that. But if it feels like a win, I know without a doubt, and this is to take nothing away from how awesome our current president has meant to lots of people. And in 2008, there's some folks who thought he was the second coming. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Christians at all, but if you just saw people, it was kind of trippy. And thinking this is a huge win, we're going to be good now. We're going to have justice. We're going to have a colorblind society. That was the one that I found most funny, mm-hmm. that colorblind thing. But there are some people who genuinely felt that way and felt like it's a win. We can lean back. And then, you know, you run over by the corporate elite really quickly. And I only remember one other time in my lifetime when that happened. when there was a surplus in the budget. And we, those of us who were like, oh, yes, we've been working on, you know, stop funding the military, fund social needs for ages. I think it was in the Clinton administration. I think we felt like there was a surplus. And I remember feeling like, wow, education programs will get funded. And
what do they call that? A peace dividend.
Peace dividend, yes. We called it that for about 3 months. And then that got scooped up. And before you know it, it's being repackaged in some way to give it back to folks to take our jobs out of the country. And, you know, it was the beginning of NAFTA. So, all right, I'm not saying there's a direct line. I'm saying that we might think it's a win when it's not a genuine win. Those of us in the leadership of Move to Amend will not be fooled again or ever. We are clear, and we have it in our strategic plan. We know what our benchmarks we're looking for. We know what a win looks like. And we put that down as we begin to create the chaos so that as we're in it, as things get crazy or as things get more difficult, we have a map. We have a really great strategy. We need help refining some of it, taking it down to the ground, helping folks to do it in their own communities. But it's a good experiment.
And you're specifically referencing the draft 10-year plan.
10-year strategic plan, yes.
Strategic plan that moved to amend.
There's a lot we can do in those 10 years. And if we do it well, at the end of the 10 years, we at least have a 28th Amendment. We at most have a full-blown democracy movement and some real serious change locally and nationally. It's very exciting. I'm very excited.
Yes, it is. And certainly one of the quests, I think, of many of those who are in Move to Amend and understanding the possible pitfalls or the if you will, efforts to co-opt are the multiple efforts out there of very good-natured and well-meaning individuals and groups that are focused exclusively on the money in politics, in money in elections, which certainly, heavens, you need.
It's something.
It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with. But as, you know, some people say, we're only going to get one bite at the amendments of the Constitution apple in our generation. It's not like a law, you know, where you can piecemeal this. Let's get 10% of what we want this year and another 10% next year. Hey, you only get one crack at this. When it comes to a constitutional amendment. So why not make it worth the effort?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be so hard anyway, we should do it right. Yeah. I've been in settings with folks where, even at a community level, people are maybe dealing with horrible crime where they live, displaced jobs, people getting thrown out of their homes, and, you know, repression from the police. And they'll settle for just one piece of what they want, not even asking for all of it, not thinking they'll get any of it. And we should not sell ourselves or future generations short. The planet deserves more. We deserve more. And the people who have never experienced democracy in this country certainly deserve more.
Well, George, just want to thank you for taking the time. I know we have... certainly those of us here in Ohio and where I heard you in Columbus, in Akron, and in Cleveland have been very impressed with your experience, with your insights, and with your inspirations. So thanks so much for being with us and for taking the time and for continuing to carry on.
An absolute pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Take care. That's all for this week. Keep up with our activities. Contact us with questions, concerns, or willingness to help out. Our website is afsc.org/Akron. Facebook page, facebook.com/NEOAFSC. Our program blog, northeastohioafsc.wordpress.com. My blog, createrealdemocracy.wordpress.com. Until next week, onward for justice, peace, and democracy.